God is faithful. Amen. He is faithful through the ages. He's been faithful through the Old Testament. We have the history, the record there, and He's faithful for us today. We need to continue to keep our faith and trust in Him, leading others into faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, so that they may be blessed as well, not just for the day, but on into eternity. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at some verses there, as well as some other passages in regard to faith, that we would be a people of faith today. A couple were vacationing in Europe, and they went to this one particular little country inn, and you know, when you get off the mainstream, sometimes the climate is a little bit more friendly and whatnot. Well, this little country inn had this nice little sign on the desk, and it read, "Please introduce yourself to your fellow guests, since we're all one big happy family." And then in great big bold letters right underneath, "Do not leave any valuables in your room." What? I thought we were one big happy family. Evidently, some of the family thought that they could help themselves to a few things while you were visiting. So anyway, so much for the big happy family idea, right? Many people learn to utilize faith in various types and levels as we face life. As we grow, starting from our infancy, children learn to believe in their parents. If mommy and daddy say, "Come on, come on, you can do it, and you can get up and walk," and what do we expect out of them? That they sit there? No, pretty soon they learn to crawl and then to walk, and then run and then get into all kinds of mischief. It's a learning process that we teach our youngest from the very beginning. We believe in the parents, we believe in family, that we can work with family. We teach trust and belief in the teachers that we utilize, and then we also teach individuals to believe in themselves and what they are capable of doing. We exercise faith when we learn how to swim. We exercise faith when we turn on the electronics, and when we flip on the light switch, we expect all the lights to come on. When we're driving down the road, we believe that people will obey the rules of the law on driving, staying on their side of the road, and so forth. Or when we're passengers on boats or planes, or if we get on the gondola, we believe that we're going to be safe in the hands of others who are controlling things. We believe that when we go to the restaurant, that when we place our order will come to us as we asked it to be. That when we order a hamburger, we're not going to get salami or something unmentionable, right? Y'all believe in your restaurant providers, don't you? Yeah? So, some beliefs are not fulfilled as we go through life. And some of those that aren't fulfilled have minor consequences. You know, a burned out light bulb will not come on no matter how many times you believe it should when you're flipping the switch on and off. If it's burned out, it's burned out. It's not going to work anymore. And some of you have been out shopping and you're driving along and you think, "I need to go to such and such a store," and you're driving down this particular road. That building will not move from where it actually is to the road that you think it's on, will it? So you can believe all you want that a certain store is on a certain street, but it's not going to move for you. It's not going to happen just because you believe it is on San Mateo or El Paseo or some other road. It's just not going to work. So, no, those are minor problems in our belief system. We have to adjust our belief a little bit. Other beliefs have life and death consequences. in the early days of spaceflight, one particular American astronaut lay strapped into the capsule on top of the rocket ship, ready to be launched off. And they were just minutes away from the launch. And a reporter asks over the radio, "How do you feel?" The response of the astronaut was, "How would you feel if you're strapped on top of 150,000 parts that are supplied by the cheapest bid?" It takes a lot of faith that everything is going to work just right. And unfortunately, there were some astronauts who paid with their life because something didn't work right. Other factors we run into in life, I mentioned driving down the street. You believe that people will obey the laws, and sometimes they don't. And there are deadly auto wrecks. At the beginning of our country, there was a lot of faith. Peter Marshall and David Manuel did extensive research in the regard to the Christian faith of the founders of our nation, the United States of America. In their second book, titled From Sea to Shining Sea, it begins right after the victory for the freedom against England, for the establishment of our nation. And the founders of our nation were in the process of trying to establish the guidelines and the rules for our new government. Reading from the book, it states, "In 1787, on a hot Philadelphia summer afternoon, tempers and tensions were also high among the representatives of the new nation. In the middle of a heated debate, old Benjamin Franklin received permission from President Washington to speak. And he said, 'How has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir," as he looked at Washington, "were heard and graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance?" He continued on with a reminder of how God provides and protects the sparrows as well as people. Then he continued, "We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Powerful words from Benjamin Franklin. We've got to believe in the God of the Bible. He was the God who provided our nation freedom from the tyranny of England. And now we don't need him anymore? Is that the attitude he was asking his fellow representatives? The writings of Marshall and Manuel emphasize the fact that most of the founders of our blessed nation placed their faith and trust in the Lord God and the Savior presented in the Bible. Ben Franklin, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, on down through the years, a host of other individuals living and leading us believed in God and Jesus Christ. Is that faith of any value and importance today? Does it matter what a person believes? Is faith in God or Jesus even necessary today? Or are we just too good and too smart to put up with that old religious stuff? Let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to open our hearts and minds. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You that You are still available and waiting for all of Your children to come to You. And I thank You for those who are here today, those who will hear these words. And I pray that You will touch our hearts and our minds and inspire us and remind us that we need You. Oh, how we need You. No matter how far advanced we may become as a culture, we only receive those blessings from You to begin with. You are the source of our life. You are the one who holds this universe together. So, Father, as we consider Your words, consider Your scripture, help us to be a people of faith in You, not in ourselves, not in our culture, not in fellow humanity, but in the power of God and the redemption of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your scriptures, for the guidance, Your truth that You give to us. Help us to grow ever closer to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at the value of the Bible, that we can trust in the truth of the Bible. So today we turn to the words of the Scripture once again to see what Scripture has to say. Just a little tidbit that we have a few moments for. Looking at Hebrews, it begins, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Skip down to verse 6. "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So in the next just few minutes, we're going to look at, briefly, faith. How important is faith? What does faith do for us? First of all, I want to touch on the point that faith's simple definition is given here. It's of profound importance. Here we have in verse 1 the definition provided by God's writer in the book of Hebrews, a simple definition that very clearly explains what faith is. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. God's Word gives us this basic guideline of what faith is, whether we are referring to the faith system, the belief system as a whole, or a particular action. People develop an idea of what they are convinced is true, even when they don't even have the final proof that their idea will be fully possible. As a result of various types of faith, people have built skyscrapers, reaching thousands of feet into the air. People have built huge bridges that reach large spans over the water. How is all that possible? It began with believing in abilities and the principles that God has given to us, physics and such, that we have that work in this world. If we tried to do all of that on some other planet with differing values of gravity, it wouldn't work as well. But it works here in this world because of the principles that are applied and the knowledge that we have gained of God's creation. God expects and requires that we believe He exists. Verse 6 talks about that specifically. We must believe that God exists, and our whole life must center around that belief. God wants every man, woman, boy, and girl to have that faith that He is real so that they might be blessed by Him. God wants to bless those people. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your neighbors, but we have to put our faith and trust, our belief in Him. Not only does He give us blessings here in this life, but how much? He wants to give us life and blessing forever, beyond this world. Now, I'm not able to give that to you. Can any of you guarantee me anything beyond this life? Nobody can. Not in this world, not in this. They may promise you stuff, but what's the guarantee? That would take a lot of faith. It actually takes more faith to believe in the promises that somebody has to give to you that exceed this world than it does to believe in the Scripture that what we read during communion, Jesus showed He had the power over death by His resurrection. And of course, His many miracles gave us other convincing proofs that He was God, the all-powerful one in human body. The Bible teaches that men are to lead in this faith process. You men, you're the leaders. God has assigned you to be faith leaders. Now, women, you're not left exempt. You are to be following and leading in faith along. Those of you who are married, you are called to support the husband and work in the faith of the living God. And you are leaders and examples to who? Those of you who are blessed with children, you are to be the example to the ones growing up in teaching them this faith in the living God. Not just to your children, but to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to your enemies. Anybody and everybody that you possibly can. We are called to be examples of faithful people. People who put their trust in God. And God is still the living God who wants to help all people today. Scriptures record God's interaction with numerous people in caring for them. In chapter 11 alone, we have a list of 20 individuals that God worked in their lives in various ways and special ways, showing that He is the living God. If you haven't read Hebrews chapter 11 lately, I encourage you to do that. If you need to do it right now, so be it. But anyway, God is good. Read your Old Testament. Read your New Testament. See how He interacted with people, how His hands of blessing were on them and around them continually. The Bible is the testimony of God's faithfulness. We just sang about God's faithfulness. The Bible is the record of God's faithfulness in past generations, and we are called to be the living testimony of God's faithfulness today in our culture. We need to do that more and more as a witness, as a living testimony. God continues to prove He exists now. Psalm 19 begins, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God." It wasn't was telling, or once upon a time there was a God out there. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. When we look out at all of creation, everything around us, where did it all come from? It wasn't the Big Bang. It was His word that brought it into being. Poof, it was there. Again, we have the testimony of Jesus' life where He speaks, and eyes were made whole, limbs were made whole. Jesus spoke and cursed a fig bush because it didn't provide. And what happened? It immediately withered. Jesus spoke to the storm. How many of you can stop a storm with three words? Doesn't happen normally, does it? But Jesus spoke and the storm stopped immediately. The fact that the immense universe is organized when the laws of physics say everything is decomposing. That in itself shows that the universe was created by the perfect one, whole and complete. And as the scripture says, sin has brought the decaying destruction to the perfect universe that God started with. The Creator brought it all into existence. Sin is causing the destruction, just as the scripture says. God's promise to preserve a remnant of Israel continues. The promise is there in the Old Testament as well as New Testament, and it speaks about the new Israel. The presence of the Bible with all of its messages, its testimonies of God's reality, is the evidence that this is the Word of God. There have been multiple people who have tried to destroy the Bible, the influence of the Bible, and yet God's Word continues to be with us. It's a unified message. We looked at this message last week, how even with all of the different authors on different continents through time, there is one united message in the Bible proving it is the Word of God. It's not changed through the centuries. The message is still there, full and complete. The fulfillment of the messianic prophecies testify of the omnipotent God who knows all things from the past into the future. The prophecies that are unfulfilled, we are still waiting for them to come to be. But there's hundreds of prophecies that have already been fulfilled as a testimony of God's knowledge of God's existence. We can believe in Him. The wisdom of Scripture exceeds that of the smartest people. How do we gain wisdom? By learning from others. What's the best source? Start with your Bible. Start with your Bible. The Word of God abides forever. The eyewitness records of Jesus are given for us to believe that He is the promised Christ, the promised Messiah, as well as master over the universe. We will all stand before Jesus in the final judgment. And if we are not doing His will, He promises us, He prophesies to us, we will be condemned. Now, once that happens, are you going to have a second chance? Nope. When He makes the decision, it'll be done. How many people are just going to wait and wait and wait and say, well, I'll find out later? Unfortunately, they will be sorry. It will be too late. We have some stories in the scripture about individuals who waited too long. Let's don't be people like that. Put your faith in God. Faith must be growing in every person. Faith must be supported, developed, and strengthened in everybody. No human is exempt. Starting with our youngest child, even with people who are disabled, who have mental deficiencies, we still need to teach faith to them. Faith in God. Faith is not inherited from our ancestors. Faith and belief is taught by others with both words as well as life examples. Some of it is by looking at the evidence around us. In Psalm 19, it points this out. The heavens are declaring right now that God is out there. Now, there's people out there trying to explain away with evolution and with all these other theories and ideas, but the Bible gives us the answer. It started with the great Creator who made it all to begin with. Faith begins small and grows at different rates for everyone in relationship to how far they really want to stretch themselves. As we look at the stories of different individuals in the Bible, we see their growth in faith. I mentioned the apostles to begin with. They didn't have immediate huge amounts of faith. They had to grow. They spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and they still didn't understand it all when He went to the cross. They had to grow in their understanding. In Matthew chapter 17, we read the difficulties that the disciples had in trying to cast a demon out of a person. And Jesus said, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, You could even move what? A mountain. Now Jesus went on to heal that individual, and the disciples were learning from the example of Jesus, and they continued to grow in their faith. It wasn't until after the resurrection and the help of the Holy Spirit in their lives that their faith finally really blossomed into what it became, where they were powerful men of faith, working in the power of God, doing His will, overcoming obstacles, allowing God's miracles to take place in their lives. The 12 apostles learned to develop their faith through who? Through Jesus Christ, watching Him. Jesus is the one who withered the fig tree with a statement. He is the one who healed the sick. He's the one who healed the lame, the deaf, the blind, the diseased. The Lord cast out demons. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. He raised the dead. He conquered the power of demons. I mean, they were getting lessons left and right, and they were growing in their faith, and they were even enabled to do the same things while Jesus was with them. And they were surprised. Wow, we didn't know we could do that. Was it their faith? Was it their power? No, it was the power of God working through them. The disciples placed their faith in Jesus and in the God of the Scriptures, began similar miracles. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they went out and worked fully in the power of God, in the doing the will of Jesus Christ. We are called to develop that same faith by obeying biblical teachings. We are given access to the same power, the same Holy Spirit who worked in them when we obey Jesus Christ, when we walk in faith, obedience, and trust in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And His power is working in you. Sometimes it's unseen. We don't see some of the results immediately. Don't give up. Continue serving Jesus. You are the seed planters. Let God provide the growth. You keep planting seed. You keep cultivating. You keep working with people around you, and God will provide the growth in those who are seeking to please Him. The last point I want to deal with is faith requires us to accept all of God's message. We don't get a menu of the Bible, like when we go to the restaurant, as to what parts we want to accept, which ones we want to reject. We must believe in all of the Bible. You can't go and look in your Bible and say, well, I really like that, these stories that I find in Psalms and the Kings, but that creation stuff in Genesis, I don't know about that. My teacher, my biology teacher down at school said, we all just came from a big mess of amoeba mush. I'm a cousin of a monkey. You want to believe that? Go ahead. I'm going to believe my Bible. I'm going to believe the testimony of the witnesses who walked with Jesus. Don't try to pick and choose which parts of the Bible you want to believe and which parts you're going to throw out. You need to take it all from Genesis all the way through. What's the last book of the Old Testament? Malachi, Matthew through Revelation, all of your Bible. Noah couldn't check the National Weather Service to determine if there would be a worldwide flood or what the weather patterns were going to be. He believed in God and obeyed the commands, followed the directions, and he and his family were saved as a result, along with the animals, a representation. The rainbow is God's reminder that there won't be a worldwide flood, but it's also a reminder there is a coming judgment by fire. Yeah, there's going to be fire. Things are going to heat up. Not the way people are telling us in their opinion. It's going to happen by God's judgment, and we need to be ready for it. David did not take time to review videos or records of the fighting style of Goliath. He stepped up in faith to God, defending faith in God and belief in God, and his faith led to the defeat of the Philistines, the faith growth of his brothers and his fellow Israelites to defeat all of the Philistines. God helped Moses overcome his lack of faith. Moses tried to get out of helping his fellow countrymen. 5 different excuses. God answered every single excuse, gave him power, courage, and faith to move forward to become the leader of the nation of Israel. Then Moses put it into practice, leading the Israelites through the Red Sea on dry ground, through the wilderness to Mount Sinai, then to the border of Canaan, with God providing the food, God providing the water, God providing all the protection, all the deliverance that was needed for his people, as well as extra blessings. Daniel didn't check the feeding schedule of the king's lions when he faithfully prayed with his windows standing wide open so that his enemies could see. He did not suppress his faith or commend to God, and God used him powerfully, as well as his 3 friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Stephen did not hold back the words of truth from those who hated him when he stood before the Sanhedrin, even when his life was on trial, even when they put him to death. But Stephen received the promise of life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want eternal life, you must believe in Jesus. You must live your life in belief for Jesus, who lives forever. We don't see him now, but we have the witness of those who did see him, the testimony of those who saw him. Be a people of faith in Jesus Christ, the living God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for faith, for your blessing, for Jesus. Thank you for your word. Help us to be a people of faith. Moving forward in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.